Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
On the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Danny Green. If you're a fan of the NBA, make sure to check out his podcast, Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Listen to Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Danny, my friend, how are you? Thanks for joining us
today. I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys.
Good to have you with us, Danny.
Yep. Too long. All right, how about the Cavs right out of the gate, man? I got to tell you, we are pumped up here, and you know how great the fans are in Cleveland.
As you should be.
It's something spectacular. Give me your thoughts on the Cavs.
I mean, they're playing amazing right now. And, I mean, I had this debate early on. Everybody has their own little group chats. They play GM. They play, you know, coach. They play, you know, they have barbershop talk. So a lot of people weren't believing them. I'm like, the way that they're winning games, and they were resting people. They're winning games without guys and being in the lineup or Strus being out. Donovan taking a rest game, Darius, Evan. I said, obviously, they had the same group for the last 3 years or so. That gave them the edge. So I knew the first third of the year, they'd be up on people. But the fact that they're consistent and keeping it going, got to give a lot of credit not only to the players but the coaching staff. They're playing unbelievable and doing some great things. So, and they're doing exactly what I predicted. I said they're real this year. Like, you know, this is the year that they put themselves in contention. Danny, now, they might not get it done, but they are in that kind of conversation.
You know more about it than we do, certainly. What is it?
That, I mean, not really. I won't say that. But
well, what is it that Kenny Atkinson has done?
Go ahead. Sorry.
What is it that Kenny has done that has made the big difference with this team?
I mean, so that's something for that they can answer better than I could than inside. But from the outside looking in, it just looks like they just sharp, disciplined, have confidence. They know who they are. They have an identity. And he's allowing Evan to be Evan and do more. You know, he's allowing him to bring the ball up, which opens up the floor for everybody else. But ultimately, you know, Kenny fell into a good situation where this group has been together for some years, so it made it easier for them, you know, everybody kind of to get acquainted. You know, it's not figuring it out. Like everybody else in the league making trades, they had the first couple months, they had to figure each other out. So ultimately, you know, I think it's just instilled some more discipline and confidence in them. And I think always the biggest issue is, and the question mark is, where are they going to be, what are they going to be doing playoff time, right? And I think this year, they're going to be a lot more solidified and have a better spot, better chance to get to the Eastern Conference Finals at least.
Yeah, Danny, you said you saw it coming. That's interesting because what was it? Just the chemistry? Maybe it was a little bit of the heartache they had last year, and obviously you played on teams with great chemistry before. That's why I'm super curious.
Well, I like to compare it to the reason why we were so good in San Antonio. We kept that same group together for 3 or 4 years. This is very similar to that. And it said if you could stay healthy. I said I wasn't sure other teams would catch up, and I wasn't sure if they would sustain it, but they are. And, you know, I just expected a full-off chemistry that they would have an edge on people, but I didn't think they would be this far ahead and go streaking the way they've been going streaking all year. They're just playing unbelievable basketball and finding ways to win. Now the only challenge is seeing what adjustments they can make and what Kenny can do for them when it comes playoff time, and hopefully they don't meet one of those teams. I think I honestly think they could beat Boston as well, but I think they could beat anybody. They shouldn't be worried about anybody in the playoffs until the Eastern Conference Finals when they play Boston. And I think that's going to be the matchup. We're going to see some good things, and that's probably going to be a 6-7 game series.
Knicks, 76ers, if they get healthy with Embiid, no one else big concern for you?
If I'm – it's a lot of ifs.
It is a lot of ifs.
You know, it's a lot of ifs. Tibbs, you know, those guys play a lot of minutes. If you've seen top seven groups in the league of the three man or Nick in minutes, is, you know, Nick lineups, I know how long they sustain it. They're also very top heavy. So I think they lack some depth. They do have Deuce and Campaign off the bench. They're looking to get Mitchell Robinson back. So there's a lot of ifs. Now, if they are healthy and playing well at that time, yeah, those teams are very good and somewhat concerning. But the way Cleveland is playing, they just do what they're supposed to be, but they keep what they've been doing and continue that. I wouldn't be too worried because they know who they are and they're playing really good basketball. And so defensively, they're scrambling, and offensively, they're sharing the ball and playing with each other. It's hard to beat that type of group or that type of brand of basketball.
Yeah, we're talking with Danny Green, former Cavalier, and of course our Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your new home at Amazon. Wow, that's awesome.
Nice.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com.
I got me a Hyundai, actually.
Say that again?
I have an Hyundai. I have a Hyundai Ioniq. Nice. Ioniq 5, actually. I'm an electric guy. But I know you get off Amazon. That's new.
That's amazing. I can't believe that. So visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. You had to win that for getting an MVP at something along the way, didn't you? You probably
won it.
No,
I did not win it. I had to buy it.
Right.
I wasn't that special, wasn't that good. Couldn't get those type of sponsorships, but yeah.
You needed more NIL is what you needed, right?
That I did. I came 10 years too late. I was born 10 years too late. I needed maybe 15 years. There was no NIL during my time.
Oh, man. All right, so you talked about the Cavs, and Boston was the big team that they got a challenge to be the best if they're going to be the best in the East. Is there anything they can do at the trade deadline that would give you more confidence in the Cavs going up against the Celtics later in the season?
I mean, if I'm them, I wouldn't change anything, honestly. I mean, I saw some things. You see the reports. They can find some depth in different areas, or, you know, which is like in the front court, I guess, if I'm not mistaken. You know, pick up another big if they can to back up Evan or Jared if they get hurt or injured or if they're in foul trouble. But other than that, I don't think there's much they need to change. And, you know, people were talking about, I saw anyway today, a swap of trying to get Naz Reid if you could. But I don't see why you would do that because they have good bench depth. You know, they got Karras coming off the bench, Strus and George Niang and Isaac, Ty Jerome. Like, all these guys are pitching in and doing their part.
Danny, when a young guy comes into the NBA, you know, I think people immediately want that young guy to just thrive. You know, you sometimes see it in the NFL, a rookie comes in and plays really, really well. We've seen it at some spots, you know, quarterback. But young guys
who come in. They don't know the scout report on you yet.
Well, that's true. Yeah, some guys come into the NBA, and it takes a while. Even LeBron came in, averaged 20 a game, which was phenomenal. It took Kobe a while and everything else. What is it that a young guy has to learn? And I'm thinking about Evan Mobley here, you know, because Evan looks like a different player. And he's certainly not, you know, a 20-year-old kid anymore. What is it? What happens in those two or three years?
It's just different for everybody. Some guys are targeted and some guys aren't, and they know what you can do. Some guys just have to build the confidence and have the system around them. I think it was just him, you know, working on his game and him putting in that work all summer. It may have been just a coaching change, who knows. But I think more so is the confidence that he's worked on himself, and then the coaching staff, you know, allowing him to push the ball himself. Probably changed some things. He's probably been healthier. He might have worked on his body some, but it's different for different people. And I think for most guys, it's just the confidence of you know, going out there and knowing who you are and what you can do, and just, you know, being assertive.
Danny, there was talk. Colin Cowherd and the commissioner Adam Silver were having a conversation about the 3-point line and the notion of maybe tweaking or changing the 3-point line. Your thoughts on that?
Changing it to what?
I don't know. The quote was this: I don't want to just knee jerk move the 3-point line. We're sort of going through the process right now, seeing how these players are adapting to some new rules and figuring out what changes we should make. I wish it was as simple as just moving the 3-point line back because we would just do it. I think it's based on the notion that there are just too many three pointers being made, I guess, or 3-point attempts.
That's not to me. That doesn't sound like the solution because all it's going to do is make the brand of basketball worse because guys are going to just be shooting deeper shots. You're not going to stop them from shooting threes.
I think there's no place to move the line back, you know, on the sides.
No, well,
there's not
much
space there anyway.
You know, one of the things I'd heard is maybe flattening it out so that if you hit from the corner, it wouldn't be a three. So that would be more of a umbrella.
Just no corner threes, only up top, and it's like a four-point line type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it, but I still don't think that's the answer. Guys are still going to shoot threes. You take away a corner three, which kind of would suck. But I think there's other ways to adapt and adjust. You know, I think the issue is they're trying to find ways to get the viewership back. Me, speed the game up. I know I'm not a big fan of the one-for-two free throws in the G League, but I think it'll help speed the game up. Mm-hmm. That's one thing you could do. But the biggest issue to me is you've taken the emotion out of the game. There's too many – and the foul baiting. Foul baiting is hurting it, slows down the game, and then just, you know, the technicals and the reviews. But the fact that guys aren't allowed to celebrate or react, I think it takes a lot of emotion out of the game, and it takes some competitiveness out of the game, which allows – you know, also guys can't be as physical defensively because of, you know, all the fouls and the rules that the offense has. So if you change a few things, I think it'll make the game, you know, come back to – I also want to bring it all the way back to where it was. I'm not saying that it's in a bad place, but you'll see, I guess, more viewership. People want to watch more viewership because I think people are tired of seeing guys get fouls and go to the free throw line. And then also technicals happen for celebrating. Guys can get emotional and talk, you know, talk trash to each other. You know, everything is, I mean, I'm with the sportsmanship thing, but, you know, people want to see, you know, some drama. People want to see people, you know, trash talking and getting after each other.
Danny, the Cavs play Oklahoma City tonight. They've done a really nice job of putting a really competitive team on the court. They're really good. Mm-hmm. And they have first-round draft choices coming up, you know, like absolute crazy. Well, what do you think of the Thunder, not only now, but the way they're positioned for the future?
They're positioned very well for the future, and they're playing unbelievable right now as well. There's a reason why these two teams are the top two teams in the league. They're playing really good brand of basketball. They have great leadership with them. They've been together for a couple of years. Great atmosphere, and they're playing, you know, really good team basketball. I got a chance to watch them play Philly the other night, and regardless of who's on the floor, they're still playing the same type of brand of basketball and sharing the ball and finding each other, cutting and moving and playing together. So, you know, that type of – I got lucky enough to be a part of that in San Antonio, and I know it's a formula for success, so it's hard to not like that, to watch it, and hard not to be a fan of it and think that you won't win games by playing that way.
Huh. Danny, what makes Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse or whatever you want to call it, when you were playing, whether it was Gund or I can't remember the 16 names it's already had, but what makes the venue in Cleveland unique and special from both sides of the coin, from playing here to being a member of the opposition?
Oh, well, the Cleveland fans are just loyal, man. They love their teams. You know, they're loud, and especially, I mean, I got a chance to be there when Bron was there. I got a chance to be there, and the teams were good. And obviously, they made some upgrades since they won a title. So the arena itself is really nice and had some good amenities. But just the fans are great, man. They get loud because they appreciate, they know what it's like to be down. And they appreciate when their teams are winning and then in the playoffs because they know what it's like to be the team that's, you know, at the bottom of the barrel, I guess.
Danny, thank you so much. We always appreciate talking to you. We love talking to you throughout the season. We hope we can have you on real soon.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys, man. It was great. Always.
Take care, man. We'll talk to you soon, Danny.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. You know, we just had the opportunity to talk to Danny Green, Odyssey Sports NBA insider, former Cavalier, spent a lot of time in San Antonio as well. And so he had some interesting things to say. I want to get to the point that he made about the Cavs and Boston. We'll do that in a second. I also want to remind folks about the NBA All-Star voting, which is you know, they just came back with their third fan return, and if you're looking at the Cavaliers in the front court in the Eastern Conference, again, they have a new format this year, but in the front court, Evan Mobley is sixth overall, Giannis is first, and Evan's, you know, got a little bit less than half a million votes. And then Jared Allen is in 10th, so those are the top 10 players in the front court, and the Cavaliers have number 6 and number 10. When it comes to guards, Donovan Mitchell is number 2, and he is chasing LaMelo Ball. Donovan Mitchell has 1.5 million votes, and LaMelo Ball has 1.9 million votes. And again, Donovan's in 2nd place. Darius Garland is in 8th place with just under 400,000. Cavs fans, if you really want to get in on this and try to help these guys out and help them become All-Stars, tomorrow is a great day to vote. You can vote once a day during the voting period that will go until January 20th. Which is Monday. And what's interesting is Friday, tomorrow, and Monday are triple voting days. So your vote counts as three. So if you're going to vote, you know, obviously do it today, and then you want to do it again tomorrow and then on Monday. You can vote every day again. But Friday, tomorrow, and Monday, those are triple voting days. So your one vote will count as three votes. So let's try to help those Cavaliers become All-Stars as well.
All right. I want a show of hands.
Yes.
Am I the only guy in this room who would prefer All-Star games be voted on by players, coaches, and front office personnel completely?
Yeah, you could throw the media in there, but I wouldn't
throw the media
in. I'm just saying, I would rather have players and coaches pick.
And front office personnel.
Yeah, because now it's like, oh, well, you were an All-Star today, but you're only worth one vote, and tomorrow you're worth three? Like, because what happens is, and you know this as well as I do, when we get into the baseball stuff, it's like, hey, okay, it's a totally popularity contest. It has nothing to do with ability or what they're doing.
Like, for instance, Joel Embiid is ahead of Jared Allen right now in the fan voting. If I had my choice of players, I would take Joel Embiid, except he's played 13 games this year. Now, he's not going to make it. He's 9th, but Jared Allen is 10th. Jared's had a phenomenal season. I would just prefer players, coaches, and front office folks to do all the voting.
I'm actually not bothered by the fact that when the fans vote on the starters, and like the way they do in baseball, right? So the fans pick the starters, and then the rest of the league picks the managers pick some, and you know, and then you should have players voting on people that deserve to be there. I don't know. As long as they don't do it by individual team, like every team has to have an All-Star, I think that's silly. I still think that's silly. I understand why baseball does it.
I always kind of liked that.
I liked it when we all keep in mind that this is an exhibition for the fans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And therefore, that's why. If we left it, if we truly left this and put the players and general managers and coaches into a room and told them that anything that would be said will not leave the soundproof box.
Ooh.
Every single one of them would look at you and go, I'd prefer we just don't play this thing.
That's exactly what they're telling you.
Yeah.
So that's the side of saying, okay, let's leave it to the managers, the GMs, and the coaches, and all that kind of stuff. You'll start getting your fingers on the scale. It's like what happens when we get the NBA Player Awards, and all of a sudden, what was that? Was it like Tony Allen who voted for every single member of his Grizzlies team or something like that, and that was it? You know, so you like run into that stuff. There's no perfect way to do this, mm-mm, except to throw our hands in the air and call this thing an exhibition. And realize that in reality, we probably shouldn't put a whole lot of stock into this because it's an exhibition for the fans. And it should be the same way when it comes to contract negotiations and all that stuff.
Yeah, too. I do think there's also a difference between being an All-Star and an All-Pro.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And so I think that's the biggest. I'd like, if you were a player, would you rather be an All-Star or an All-Pro?
All-Pro.
All-Pro.
But if you're an All-Star, that means.
Meaning at the end of the year, you've been voted to one of the like first teams or something like that.
Yeah. But it's like. The fans appreciate you if you're an All-Star, right?
Right, because it's an exhibition for them.
And they're looking at the big picture of your career most of the time. It's not just what you've
done. I used to really like the NBA All-Star game.
I did too. I don't have it anymore.
I really used to like it.
Yeah, I'm not there.
It was East-West, and they actually competed a little bit.
Yeah, I don't. Do you understand the new format they're doing this year?
Yeah, they're picking, what, is it three? or four. I think it's they're picking
a mini
four
tournament.
Four 8-man teams. That's what they're doing.
It's a mini tournament of four teams in three games.
Yeah.
Right. Three of them will be the All-Stars, and then the fourth one
will be
the Rising Star.
Up and coming guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Team Charles, Team Shaq, Team Kenny. Is this to make up about the contract negotiations?
And Team Candace.
Is that the other? Yeah, Team
Candace. For the young kids.
She's the honorary general manager of the Rising Stars. That's correct. The voting process to determine the 24 NBA All-Stars is still the same, though. And that's what we just talked about. Five players are starters, and they'll be selected by. But, you know, it's still 50% of the vote comes from the fans. So the players still have 25%.
Yeah, I know.
And the media has 25%.
Yeah, I know. Throw the media out.
Why are you so anti-media?
I would just prefer the players and coaches and front office folks in every sport.
I'll be honest. I don't have a problem with the media having...
That's because you like to vote.
No, actually, I don't. Yeah, I can tell you who the MVP of every game is going to be every time.
Well, ding for you.
Well, Jeff, you can too because you know how it happens. They hand out the ballots on press row or they hand out the ballots wherever they are, and everyone goes and they look and they're like, oh, who was the leading scorer? Oh, unless somebody has some kind of stat that's off the hook, like somebody had 50 assists, it's probably going to be whoever the leading scorer was in that game or the quarterback in that game. Yeah, I think it's super difficult for anybody who's not a quarterback to become an MVP in a game, especially in a football game. Obviously in a football game.
That's true.
Especially.
Can
not,
be.
Not totally true. And I'll give you the worst one.
It just happened for Ohio State.
That's going to anger you.
Go ahead.
It's going to make you mad.
Sure.
Andre Iguodala, 2015. I told you it's gonna make you mad, but it's the truth. He ended up winning that finals MVP award when it could have been handed to whomever had the most amount of points, and no, it was Iguodala. Now some people would argue it should have been LeBron James for the losing team, but it still was the way that it went.
Yeah, it always seems to be the winning team. The losing team, you could have the best player on the losing team, because without him you have no chance.
Did you think it was weird that, like, when Jeremiah Smith won the offensive MVP in the Rose Bowl, and Will Howard wasn't even allowed on stage? Did you see the video?
Well, they just
did. You see that video?
Some security.
They didn't even
person.
Let the starting quarterback up on stage.
That's because he was
good
late.
Job, Rose Bowl.
He was late getting there
because he was doing a network interview.
Right,
but they weren't gonna. Well, how can you be late getting there,
Andy? This is the Rose Bowl. We. We
this
help.
Is the granddaddy of them all.
It is. It's more I was going to say, this is the Rose Bowl. These are the group of people who are like, no. We have to play the game at this particular time so that we get the sunset over the mountains at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
We have to interrupt
everything involved in there. So, of course, they're going to be irrationally dumb about things.
And what you had was somebody in a vest told to do a job, and they were doing what they were told. Oops, ceremony's already starting. I can't let you up here. Don't be mad at the person. Be mad at the policy.
So would they not have let the head coach up there?
Andy, I wasn't there and did not write
saying.
The rules, so I really couldn't tell you.
But don't let common sense get in the way, right?
Well, it does all the time. Welcome to our world.
The guy
pal.
Was going
to
get fired from his volunteer job? I mean, come on.
Well, he might have.
Oh, people around the guy, they were screaming like, he was the starting quarter. He was the quarterback
in
this game.
Don't blame the guy. He was just doing his job, man.
Well, somebody should have had some comment. Like, you would think the networks would have been like, hey, why isn't Will Howard up there? What's going on here?
Don't blame the guy. Just doing his or her job.
Oh, Jeffrey. It is interesting. The last two times Ohio State won the Rose Bowl, it was not the quarterback that was the offensive MVP. It's Jeremiah Smith and then Jackson Smith and Jigba before that. Interesting.
Exciting.
Well, I just think it's hard to win an offensive MVP when you're not the quarterback. It almost always is. I don't know how I got here from NBA All-Star voting, but yeah.
But it comes back to the same thought. It means that the media members who are voting on this are watching the games, and they're dissecting them. And Jeremiah Smith was the more impressive player.
I totally agree with that. And
right.
Like, I remember saying to this after the game, I'm like, it's difficult for the media not to vote for a quarterback, but when they pick the wide receiver – I think it just shows that they were paying attention.
They're paying attention.
Totally agree with you.
So
on that
means
yeah.
we should trust them and therefore put their idea into the All-Star voting.
I would say as long as I didn't get a ballot from Jeff Phelps, I would trust the media. That's all. Because Jeff doesn't trust the media to vote. Just being honest with you. Your vote, if it came down the press row, I'd be like, oh, Phelps, see ya.
Be fine by me. Give it to somebody who played, coached, or put the team together.
You still watch the game. What if they let every fan in the venue vote? It's not that hard now with a phone. It's like real people.
Why do you keep wanting to like pick away at what I already told you? I told you what I thought. Well, what if you did this?
Maybe I told you what I thought. Maybe I'm trying to change your mind. Maybe that's what we do for 4 hours a day every day.
You can't change my mind.
Trust me. I know. For 13 years, I've known that. Danny Green said some stuff.
Maybe if you bribe me with another Coke Zero later.
Danny said, don't. Yeah, that's right. Oh, hey, Jeff, should the media vote? No way. Not ever. Hey, Jeff, want my jersey? Thanks, Mean Andy.
Jersey? Yeah. We don't do jerseys.
Mean Joe Green. You wouldn't want Mean Joe Green's jersey?
Oh, I see what you're doing now.
Thank you. You said Coke. Danny Green was talking, and he said he would leave the team intact, the Cavaliers, at the All-Star, at the trade deadline. Sorry.
Hard to argue with that. I mean, all you got to do is look at the numbers. If it ain't
but
broke,
he also said
if it
he
ain't
didn't
broke
think,
don't fix it. However,
he said Boston's going to be hard to get out of the way. So how do you figure out a way from now until then, or at least till the trade deadline, to get better so that you can feel more confident that Boston won't be in the way?
If I'm looking way down the road at a Boston-Cleveland series sometime during the NBA playoffs, if I'm the Cavs, you know how I think I win that series?
Why don't you tell me after the break?
I can do that.
All right. Good job, Jeff. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092.